Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, January the 10th, 2016. Thank you for tuning in this evening. Put yourself in the right situation for a positive and healthy outcome. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. If you live your life by the right choices, then you will have a better chance at living by your standards. You have to have standards out there. We're going to jump into this show. We have about a good 43 minutes with you this evening, ladies and gentlemen. First and foremost, I just want to give a shout-out to my Minnesota Vikings finishing the season today, 11-6, disappointing loss. Big ups to the Seattle Seahawks. You guys did it on Marshawn Lynch. You did it in one of the coldest games in NFL history, coming into Minneapolis and knocking off my Minnesota Vikings. You deserve to win, and you deserve to be taken very seriously. It was cold on both ends, very, very cold on our end. We had a chance. We went all the way down, and we had a shot to win it on a chip shot, 20-something-plus yards. We came all the way down, fought a very, very hard Super Bowl contending team, and we just came up short. We deserve to lose. If we can't hit chip shots, then we deserve to lose. So, hats off to Damon Brady, Jared Baker, Jess Cheeks, my boy Josh Larson, everyone else out there in Viking Nation, you know who you are. Sam, everybody else, you know who you are. Big ups to the Green Bay Packers, man. I was rooting for Washington. They got beat down after taking the lead. They get outscored 35-0. They don't deserve to win either. So, Steelers pulled it off. I know that y'all don't really care too much about sports, but I do. My main man, Mr. Kevin Durant and the Oklahoma City Thunder, trailing Portland Trailblazers 50-41 with 2 minutes left in the first half up there in the Rose Garden in Portland, Oregon. In saying that, I don't want this to be just a sports show. We have to talk about some serious issues here. I wanted to kind of throw that out there. Also, kind of the latest announcements here. One Chance Leadership. Visit our website, onechanceleadership.com. If you ever want a MC and live music, I mean, I'm talking just, you know, if you want a very energetic event, give us a call. We will bring it. I am so grateful to be able to partner with Marcus Anthony Gwynn, MC1, travel around the United States. I'm bringing his name up because we just got situated with the Health and Human Services A&A grant to conduct some Gen I events. So if there's any young people out there, if there's any youth coordinators out there, be sure to check into what Gen I is doing, Generation Indigenous. We'll be good this upcoming spring. We will be heading up to Denver, March. We'll be going out to Gathering of Nations, heading up to Seattle, Washington, Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's going to be taking place April 9th at the Green Bay, Wisconsin. A lot of really good programs that we're going to have the opportunity to be a part of. Phoenix, Arizona, April 16th. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. A date to be announced in Alaska. So I'm really grateful to the HHS to be giving us the opportunity to do these Gen I events. If you're interested in what Gen I is, what we're talking about when I say Gen I, it's Generation Indigenous. You can log on to hhs.org and kind of check out that page, and you know, they'll take you there. I want to wish everyone the best of luck as you get all your taxes taken care of, all of your your 1099s, and you know all of that. All of you business owners, get that taken care of, because I'm gonna tell you what, right now you get backed up in this tax game, it could be pretty scary, especially now. Which leads us into our program this evening, real quick. Put yourself in the right situation for a positive and healthy outcome. Did you see that really disgusting, this disgusting news that they had on CNN? Donald Trump kicked out a Muslim in his event this evening. I don't know if it was this evening. I don't even pay attention to him. Kicked her out, and everybody was applauding and booing and, you know, giving her the finger as she exited out. She just real quietly, you know, just stood there in protest and what Mr. Trump was saying. I think that anybody should have the right to hear anybody out. You know, you all have the right to hear Donald Trump out. You have the right to hear Obama out. You have the right to hear anybody out. You know, that's just part of what you call respect. But anyway, they made sure she got kicked out of the event. Everybody was cheering. And, you know, that just leads for me to say this. Vote. Get your stuff together. Pay your felons. Pay your, you know, get off probation. Pay your fines, your fees. I don't know. I don't care. You know, make this election coming up mean something to you. I know a lot of us natives, you know, we say stuff like, well, I ain't going to vote because that's, hey, look, you know what? If we don't vote, we're going to be affected. We have to start standing up. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what belief you have. It doesn't matter what denomination you come from. We have to come together. You have to vote. If you don't want someone in office, then you're going to have to get up and have a voice. If you don't vote, you can't say anything. And I know some of you guys out there, you know, you say stuff like, well, you know, my vote isn't going to matter. And what, you know, you keep saying that, and that is how it's going to be. So let me get off that rant. It's just disgusting. It's pitiful on how we are now in America. You know, it used to be the greatest place to live in the world. Now people may not want to live here now. I love this place. I'm happy to be, you know, living here and be able to take care of my family and have my rights and have my freedoms. Don't necessarily just look at it as, you know, we fought for this country, but, you know, we're from here. You know, we're from, you know, a land of caring people. We're from a land of giving people, you know, and that's how we have always been, tribally. So I'm so grateful that I can, you know, be in a home and be protected, not just by the law or not just by, you know, the government, but I'm glad that I can be protected by how I carry myself, you know, the position I put myself in. So that's one thing that we're going to talk about this evening. I have just a little bit of time with you left. You know, like I was saying on Facebook, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. So if you find yourself in a situation that is not healthy, then there's a good chance that you're going to get stuck in that situation. If you are doing something that is not right and is hurtful to others, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to hurt that person. And a lot of the people that we hurt in today's society are innocent people, you know, are people who, you know, didn't want this life. Last week, we sent our foster children off to their family, and I put that on Facebook, and I didn't do it for any reason except that I was hurting, I was sad, and I wanted people to keep me in their prayer, and I wanted people to pray for these young people. But here's the deal. I can't share their situation because of Oklahoma DHS requirements, but I will say this. I put myself in this situation. I brought two great, wonderful, fabulous kids into my life, and I got to grow with them. I got to learn with them. I got to be happy with them. And, you know, when that phone call came that it was time for them to pack up and move on, man, it just broke my heart. And let me tell you something. There was a family. Their family really stepped up, and you know, their auntie and uncle, and they just, their grandparents and cousins really stepped up and, you know, played their part and made it very easy for us to transition in giving them their you know, the children back into their custody. But I put myself in that position. I'm a caring person. I'm a loving person. I love these two. But when it was time for me to move on, and I delivered them, I was driving back. I was sad. I was lonesome. I was ticked off. I was angry. Started wanting to talk about the foster system. Started wanting to talk about, you know, why did I even do this? I mean, I went back and forth in a lot of areas, but at the end of the day, that's what I was called to do. I was called to bring in some young people and embrace them and love and care for them just until their family was ready. I put myself in that situation. So I can't blame DHS for how the system is. I can't be angry with anybody because how they're no longer with us. But, you know, sometimes we put ourselves in a position where we know we're going to get hurt. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. You know, think about some of you school teachers out there. You know, you take in a young student that you raised in the classroom and, you know, you help mold him into him or her into a great leader. And you want to see them graduate. You want to see them move on. You want to see them excel in other areas other than the classroom. And when they do, your heart's broken and you're sad and, you know, but you put yourself in that position. And that's fine, and that's okay. I think that's a wonderful thing that you can be a mentor. If you mentor somebody and they're moving on their own and they're out and about, you know, ready to explore the world, and your feelings aren't hurt and you're not sad and you're not bummed and down, then you really didn't want to be a mentor, you know. I have plenty of young men, particularly young men that I worked with and over the years, and, you know, just seen some of the development, even some of the heartache, you know, and they moved on. And me as a mentor, of course, I'm sad, you know, that, you know, of course, I'm sad that they, you know, have another chapter and I'm not in it, you know. But, hey, I put myself in that position. So when you live by the sword, you die by the sword. It doesn't always mean it's a bad thing. You know, it can also be a good thing. You live by bringing up foster kids. You're going to have to remember when they're taken out of your home, how hurtful it is and how painful it is. But see, the reason why I want to talk about tonight's program is because when we go out in life and we make a decision that we want to be influential in different types of capacities, you know, it's not about just, you know, it's always going to be good. You know, there's bad that comes with the good. There's good that comes with the bad. You can't, you know, just look at things and say, hey, I want everything to be A-okay and perfect. I don't ever want to get hurt. I don't ever want to feel any pain. I don't ever want to, you know, go through things and whatever it may be. let me be a dad real quick, and I apologize for some of you listeners out there. Let me get on my little box here. Obviously, you know, I have some amazing group of young people that I work with when I'm home, and they're called my children. One of my children went through a little transaction, went through a little breakup, and was really hurt. And just, you know, I don't even think it was the boyfriend and girlfriend. I think it was the best friendness, I guess you can say. And you know, both of them had a different outlook on how they wanted this relationship to be. And you know, I told my child, I said, you know, just don't call back, don't text. Just give it a day. It's not a game. It's not a game. It's not, you know, it's nothing other than strengthening yourself. See, sometimes when we unplug from something, we'll remember our standards. We'll go back to our standards. And you can't sit there this evening and say that you had standards. You got to where you are today because of your standards. And in life, you got involved with something and you got caught up in it. And you know what? Your standards were still there, but you became a little more lenient about this. You became a little more lenient about that. But after a while, you know, you find yourself stuck in that situation. And that's why this discussion is going on this evening, because, you know, when you have a standard, you have to live up to everything. You have to live by the protocol in your daily life to say, this is my standard, and they cannot be jeopardized, and they can't be compromised. That's just one area that I won't go down. And so, you know, when this breakup occurred, I told my child, you know, don't call, don't text back, don't do anything. Just let's get through today, and I'm going to check in with you tomorrow. And I hope my little one, I hope my kid isn't get mad at me because I'm throwing out their message here. But it got a little easier, you know. I would always inquire and ask about it, and it kept getting easier, and it kept getting easier, and got more control over, you know, not the breakup, but got more control over the situation. And that's something I want to share with you this evening is you can't want to take control over the situation. You have to want to take control over yourself. Take control over your standards. You're in charge of your standards. You're not in charge of a situation. I'm in control of my standards. Hey, look, I love my Vikings. I'm always going to be a Viking. If you don't think the color purple is a pretty color, then I want you to know I think it's an awesome, greatest color in the world during the football season. I don't think I'd have a purple car, but I'm going to have my purple on every single Sunday during the football season. Them are my standards. I can't control that we lost the game today. I know Walsh didn't mean to miss the field goal. I know that when someone's in the free throw line on a big Monday night game between two number one teams in college basketball, I know that that athlete didn't mean to miss the free throw. I'm not in control of the situation. I'm in control of my standards. And that's something that if there's nothing that you get out of tonight's message, I want you to get that out of tonight's message, is that be in control of the standards and know the difference between the two. You can't control the situation, but you can control your standards. When you control your standards, that gives you more of the power to say yes or no, right? A boy can't make you say yes or no in a relationship. A girl can't make you say yes or no in a relationship. Bottom line is, a lot of times we think, well, that's how they are, and so he has a little bit of pull. She has a little bit of pull in this situation because I compromise my standard. I jeopardize a little bit of my standard. He or she still loves me, but this is how they are. Therefore, I'm going to lower my standards to meet their need. You can't do that. You have to meet your need. And to be able to meet your need, you have to live by your standards. Now, in saying that, it did get easy for my child. My child went on a whole nother date with a whole nother person this weekend. And I haven't inquired about it because I don't even think I even want to know about it. But the uniqueness in this is just to watch my child gain the standard back. Really take a step back and say, hey, you know what? I really learned through that situation. And see, If something's not there anymore, don't fight it. If something's not there, don't fight it. I can't fight this basketball season this year. I can't fight this football season this year. It's over. It was over 4 or 5 hours ago. And guess what? I can't fight it. I can't argue it. There's not going to be anybody that says, okay, well, you know what? Well, some guy in Oklahoma is upset that, you know, the guy might have been offsides during that field goal. Adrian Peterson was down, or, you know, before he fumbled, or, you know, the guy for the Seahawks, he didn't get a first down, but they gave it to him. They're not going to bring the game back and say, well, you know, let's just redo it because Chance Rush down there in Oklahoma felt like his team was done wrong. That's a situation. That's what happened. The thing about the situation is it's a fact. It's an actual truth. So young ladies, young men, if you're out there listening and somebody breaks up with you, the fact isn't, let me try to get this relationship back together. The fact is, they broke up with you. The fact is, there's no longer any more interest there. The fact is that they no longer want to be in a relationship with you. Now, in saying that, You're not in control of that. But what you are in control of is picking yourself up, becoming a strong person, putting yourself in the right situation so that you can carry on and get stronger from that incident. So tonight, another thing I want to point out is blame others, right? Don't blame others. I mean, it's like, nobody's going to make you do something that you don't want to do. So don't blame anyone else. Woke up this morning, my legs were hurting, and just like my whole body was tired. One of my trainers yesterday overworked me. And I went in there, and then the first thing I told him was my back hurts, my elbow hurts. And I did the workout. And when I left the gym, my back kind of tweaked again, and my arm was aggravated. I can't sit there and blame him and say, well, I told you before my workout how I was feeling. I can't do that. I'm the one that went in there. I'm the one that put on my wraps. I'm the one that put on my gloves. I'm the one that started hitting on the bag. I'm the one that started lifting the weight. So why should he be at fault? Why should he be blamed for it? I walked out of there, and I was like, man, that guy, what's wrong with him? Then I went over and got on the treadmill, and it's the same thing. And I was running. I was fatigued. I was tired. My back was bothering me. Treadmill, you know. I can't go and tell the people at the YMCA that, hey, you know, you need to have more padding on that treadmill. I can't set it up to where someone else is always at fault. And you know, how you learn not to blame someone else is to be open-minded in a lot of areas. Be open-minded, and even though someone may say no the first time, or maybe you know something new is going to happen in your life, that's something you got to be aware of. Things are going to happen in your life. Right? When my dad went on to heaven, that was new to me. And you know what? I had to get used to it because it was going to happen. You know? When my little baby girl grew up to be a young lady, I mean, it's new to me. It's going to happen. Things out there are going to happen. That's why it's always important not to blame others for things that happen to you. That's just how it is. And you have to get accustomed to that. Because there's a listener out there right now. You're going through that. The thing that's been bothering you all weekend, or the thing that's been bothering you in your relationship or your employment or whatever it may be, a lot of it comes from, I don't want to be brand new at this. I don't want to be brand new at this. One thing I told my son today is I told him, you can't always want to say yes or no. And you can't always want to get, have things go your way because of the yes or no. Do you want to go to the park? No. Do you want to go home and lay around? Yes. Do you want to go to church tonight? No. I mean, try to say yes. Try something that can benefit you. Try something that can strengthen you. Try something that can empower you. That's where it's at, right? So learn not to blame other people. You know, get through it. And you know what? There's a lot going on out there. There's a lot of things that happen because of the position you put yourself in. Here's one thing. And I spoke about this up in Wyoming. We were driving, going to speed limit. A cop pulled right up next to me in a vehicle, looked right at me with his glasses on. Young guy, had his hair slicked back, looked at me, got behind the vehicle. I don't think I was driving. I think Marcus was driving. I might have been driving. I don't know. Got irritated. We got pulled over for no reason. We were going the speed limit, and he pulled up right next to us and looked at us for a long time. got behind me, drove behind us for a long time. Marcus pulled over. That was right. Marcus pulled over and he threw his lights on. I'm glad Marcus was involved with this story because what we really went through. And I got upset. I didn't talk back. Matter of fact, I think I said yes sir to him every time, but I didn't conversate with him. You know, I didn't sit there and visit with him and ask him how the weather was or how his day is going because I was irritated and I was frustrated. And he even asked Marcus, he says, you know, what's up with your boy, you know? He even inquired about me, right? And I can have my reasons why, you know, he pulled us over. But his reasons was because you have to be 200 yards in front of a vehicle before you can pull over in the state of Wyoming or in the state of Colorado or whatever it is. And I was irritated by that. Even though he inquired about me and I wasn't driving, he felt the need to do so. Now, in saying that story, he had to let us go, and he didn't have any right to search me or question me. Is because it wasn't because I was driving. Because it wasn't because I wasn't driving. It was because I put myself in a situation to be legit. My license was current. I didn't have any warrants. I didn't have anything. Nothing of mine was suspended. I put myself in that position to have a stance like that. There's a lot of people out there that you know yourself right now, some of you listeners, that you know someone in your life, they're not in a position to have a stance, to stand up for something. Because if they take a stance, they could get in trouble for having a warrant. They could get in trouble for being on probation or whatever it may be. They can't stand up because they don't have the stance on education or whatever it may be, sobriety, whatever it may be. But bottom line is that when you put yourself in a position, you can expect an outcome that would benefit you. You can expect an outcome that you can stand up for, right? And so, you know, in saying that, you know, that's where I was at, you know. I mean, it kind of leads to another topic here. If you look on our tribal reservation, if you look on our reservations, and also in our tribal schools, and I don't want any of my listeners to think that this is just about, you know, Indian issues, because you know, I think I do a pretty good job in being very diverse and in pretty much everything that I do in my daily living. But in saying that, if you look in our tribal community, in our boarding schools and our tribal schools, predominantly a large portion of our teachers, our educators, our coaches, they're not Native. We have individuals that work with Native kids who aren't Native, but here's the thing. They put themselves in a position to lead like that. I know plenty of educators who drive off of the reservation to the reservation because they have great benefits, because they have great pay, and they do this every single year. They don't stay, they don't live in our community. They drive in and out of our tribal community. Why? Because they put themselves in the position to have that responsibility. If you open up, so if you go to tribal schools, a large portion of our educators are non-Native. And there's nothing wrong with that. I talked to a young lady yesterday at the gym, and I was telling her, I said, you know, somebody once told me that if you're Native or not Native, and you work for us, then you are us. You're a part of us. That's how it used to be a long time ago in our tribal communities, is we used to look at things like that. We used to look at, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Native or not Native. You're working with Native kids, and you love those Native kids. It used to be like that. But now, fast forward, if you're not, if you're not Cheyenne or Arapaho, you can't do this. If you're not Creek, then you can't do this. If you're not from the lower 48, you can't do this. If you're from, you know, that tribe, or if you have that last name, you can't come here. That's how we are now, you know. Just a small portion. It's pretty sad, you know. We try to go out and talk about, you know, how Native people are still here, but yet at the same time, some of us don't get along with each other. Some of us don't try to work and collaborate with each other. Not to say that that's always how it is. That's largely how it is. Not even to say that, because I got a lot of bros. I got a lot of family. I got a lot of friends. It felt so good when Mr. Soap called in a couple weeks ago. You know, that's family right there. You know why? Because we choose to be family. That's brotherhood right there, because we choose to be bros. You know, yes, the other day I put on Facebook, you know, I was in a meeting with my friend Margot Gray, and God, man, we brought up, you know, just some really cool topics, you know, had a good little meeting, little brainstorming. And then I started thinking about, man, like all these different people that we brought up in this meeting, I know them. They're friends of mine, you know. Wilson Pipestem, you know, MC1, Reggie Island, the Free Joe Brothers, the Tonemaw Brothers, Bunky Echo Hawk, my boy Sonny, you know, David Walking Stick, who's a young councilman for Cherokee Nation, you know, old school cats, uncles, R.G. Harris, Cricket Shield, the Frazier brothers. You know, I mean, I can go on and on and on about, you know, different people who are doing it out there in Indian country, who happen to be from Oklahoma, Ryan Redcorn, you know, and the list goes on. But, you know, the reason why I'm good friends with them is because I put myself in that position to be good friends with them. I don't have fights with them. I don't have, you know, I don't say bad things about them. I just, you know, do my part and be a good bro, because I put myself in that position to be like that. But one of the reasons why I was name dropping out there was because I just wanted to get a reaction, not from just, from the people, but I wanted my bros to know how important they are, not just in our tribal community, but amongst each other. Because these individuals that I talked about on Facebook yesterday, they all influence me in different ways, in different capacities, you know, and I have different relationships with them and whatnot, you know. But it's just, it's wonderful to know that, because I keep my integrity and I keep my compassion in good hands with all of these individuals, you know, here that I talked about. And that's just so important to me. But I put myself in that position to have good friendships like that, you know. And I know I get on most of their nerves, but, you know, they're still my bros. They're still my friends, and they have to put up with me, you know, for all these years and all this time. But, you know, in saying that, you know, we have to be effective, and we have to reach out to more and more people. You know, I wanted my bros to see yesterday how important it is for us to collaborate with each other, because we have to stick together. Can no longer do the, oh, well, if you're not this tribe, then you can't do these things, you know. That's what, you know, the U.S. government, when they invented all these boarding schools, that's how they wanted it to be like, okay? Now, I want you to listen to me, because I only have about 10 minutes left with you. These boarding schools wanted to break up Indian people. People like Russell Means, John Trudell, Floyd Westerman, LaDuke, Billy Mills, Howard Rayner, old school cats. Charlie Hill did it through comedy. Old school cats. Whenever the boarding schools showed up and were shipping kids across the country, one of the primary goals was to break up Indian people, break up Native people, not just by locating them somewhere else, but put that in their mind. Put that in their mind, and golly, put it in their heart that we're not supposed to collaborate with each other. Divide them. Get them on different pages. Get them to be frustrated with each other. And you know, some of you listeners, some of you may listen to this and you're still going to be like that. You're still going to be like that, what I was talking about. But this is one of the primary goals that the boarding school movement wanted. It wanted us to lose our identity. It wanted us to lose our ways. It wanted us to lose who we once were and what we stood for. This is why we have to come together. We're doing exactly what they want us to do. They want us to get frustrated and be on different pages so that we can continue to have these setbacks. You know how areas we were frustrated? Through the healthcare system, through the USDA, through housing, through education. This is how they want us to be frustrated. For a little bit, it's like we were supposed to depend on these entities, and these entities were going to get cut one day. And the reason why these entities were going to get cut one day is because we have the lack of education to fight for them. You know, my family, one of my real good bros, man, Wilson Pipestem, is one of the greatest lawyers. Not just Indian lawyers, but one of the greatest lawyers. He's strong, he's stern, and he's real. But we are now in a situation where we need to have at least 100 Wilson Pipestems, a whole bunch of Gina Timbermans, a whole bunch of, you know, modern-day John Trudells. We don't need to take over prisons anymore. We don't need to take over. We don't need to march. We don't need to take over malls. We don't need to talk about other races. We need to get educated. We need to stay sober. We need to stay in partnership with each other. We need to count on each other. We need to rely on each other. We need to be there for each other. We need to have each other's back. That's how we fight this frustration. That's how we win who we are. We got to put ourselves in the right position as a country, as a race, as tribal people to have a positive and healthy outcome. And you know what? You don't have to get on a microphone. You don't have to put it on a billboard. You can be just like me. Sit down in your office. Sit down at church. Sit down at work. Talk, encourage one another. Be a voice. Be vocal. Go visit some of these sick people in these hospitals and tell them you're praying for them. That's how we communicate again. You don't have to go out and be somebody. You don't have to be a big shot. You don't have to be somebody big and famous, you know, to make an impact. You don't have to be in movies to make an impact. You don't have to have a Facebook account or a website to make an impact. Start right now. There is somebody out there. You're having a hard time with somebody. Pick up the phone. Work that out. Start something new. Start a friendship, start a partnership, whatever it may be, but encourage each other. Who cares if you're Hadatsa? Who cares if you're Navajo? Who cares if you're from the West Coast, the East Coast? That only matters in the NBA Finals. Other than that, let's be a family. Let's be a family again. Let's go back to those ways of just looking out for one another. You know, when you're out there, let me kind of close tonight with this. If you're having a hard time trying to collaborate with somebody, the only thing you can do is pray for them and play your part and carry yourself with dignity and with respect. Because when you can't forgive somebody and you don't want to forgive somebody, is because you don't know how to control your standards, but yet you rely on the situation. You let the situation control you, and you don't decide to control your standards, which means one of the reasons why you can't forgive someone else is because you don't know how to forgive you. And if you want to forgive someone else, you have to forgive yourself first. I know that sounds crazy. That's how it's worked in the past for you, and you know that. You know that. You know good and well that one of the reasons why you can't forgive someone else is because you don't know how, or because you don't want to. And the reason why you don't know how, you don't want to, is because you don't understand what forgiveness is. And the best way to understand forgiveness is when you can learn to forgive yourself. All right. I do apologize about that. If there's anybody out there that knows anyone in the hospital, will you please do me a favor and will you message me and give me their name, give me what hospital they're at. I want to go over there. I want to pray with them. I just want to let them know that me and my family are playing our part. And I want to encourage you to play your part. Get out. Help somebody. Pray for somebody. Go shake somebody's hand. You know, it's not a pretty picture, but you're only on this earth for so long, and I know that I say that over and over and over again. But be influential. You know, I made up my mind to be influential. And like last week's message, you know, I choose to be powerful. I choose to be special. I choose to be worth something. And the reason why I choose to be worth something is because I decided to put myself in the right situation to be influential. I live by what I say. All I know is that people are going to treat me how I act. People are going to respect me how I carry myself. So it's up to me to be effective. And I made up my mind that I'm going to be effective until I'm no longer here. It's important for me to be effective because I have a lot of people that count on me. I have my family that counts on me. I have young people across the country that count on me. I have, you know, a lot of people who follow me on Facebook or whatever it may be. I have them that count on me. But because I'm willing, I have my Creator that counts on me. So be an advocate. You know, I want to thank you guys for letting me share with you this evening. And thank you to all my listeners. I want to wish you guys all the best and just take care of one another. Join me next week. We're going to have a really good message. Be checking on Facebook for that. But, man, it just means a lot to me. January 9th. Thank you guys for tuning in. Follow me at chancerush.com, onechanceleadership.com. Continue to follow me on Facebook. Keep me in your thoughts and prayers. I'm Chance Rush, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Good night. Love everybody. Love yourself.